This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That music means one thing every Saturday. It is 1:05. It is time to talk cravings here on Joy 94.9. My name is Pete Dillon. Today's all about winning. We're speaking with the president of the Restaurant and Catering Association of Victoria, Matteo Pignatelli, who's going to tell us all about the awards that were handed out about a week ago now and some of those best in Victoria. Also joining me will be the editor of Australian Gourmet Traveller Wine, Judy Sarris, to talk about the Australian Wine List Awards that were presented on Monday night, along with Rob Hurst, who is from Fine Wine Partners. He's the man that founded that very organisation. He'll be in the studio, Judy on the phone. It's going to be a cracker of a show. Pop open a glass of something. Pop your feet up on a poof if you need to, and sit back because we will be back very shortly with foodie news and everything that's happening in the show. 0427 Joy 949 if you wish to send me a text. 1300 Joy 949 if you need to call. You can email onair@joy.org.au or you can in fact send a tweet. I have Twitter opened. It's cravings_JOY949. Another week of what is happening in Melbourne's food and wine industry, and of course across Victoria we like to include our regional cousins, our regional brothers and sisters. So if you are listening in the regions, shoot me a text, 0427 Joy 949. Let me know you're listening so I can send you a cheerio. 1300 Joy 949 is the telephone number. You can email onair@joy.au or you can, in fact, as I said, send a tweet, cravings_Joy94.9. I've got a gentleman sitting here in the studio. He's bursting to say something into that microphone. Matteo Pignatelli, welcome.
Welcome, thank you.
And now, you're the President of Restaurant Caterers Association of Victoria. We are going to come to you shortly to talk about awards. But, of course, I've got to read all the news that's happening in Melbourne. There seems to be so much of it. I did talk last week about chefs who are, well, going to end up with their fizzog on the box, basically. The rank of chefs with a TV presence are likely to swell after Shannon Bennett has recently shot a pilot for a series set in Oman, home of his restaurant, the Al Bustan Palace in Muscat. Bennett, who hasn't courted TV fame apart from a brief appearance on a recent episode of MasterChef, was approached by Richard Keddie, the producer behind the Hawk telemovie recently screened on Channel 10. Keddie said of the envisaged 10-part series that has the support of the Oman government, they're really not people you want to piss off, and says that each episode will track down remarkable people such as the Bedouin who cook their meat in the sand, then Shannon will translate that into a dish in his restaurant. Keddie's The Film Company will soon start spruiking the idea to the TV networks. One of my old mates, Donovan Cook, has arrived back in Melbourne after a 7-year absence to take up his position as exec chef with the Atlantic Group. His first gig will involve overseeing the launch of the upstairs 180-seat bistro at the group's central pier pub, The Woolshed, with head chef Kath Colker. Long term, of course, the main focus for the highly regarded British-born chef will be Atlantic, the big-ticket seafood restaurant which is opening in one of the Crown buildings. The design of the 300-seat restaurant set for late January opening was finalised 2 weeks ago. The owner, Con Andronis, says, whose other unrelated business is Clams, says Cook was instrumental in the design, which includes an open kitchen and a special processing room for the seafood as it arrives. Do you know Don Cook?
Donovan Cook?
Yeah.
Yes, I have met him once before.
He's a bit mad.
He's English.
He likes to smoke and drink, which I love. The chef Ben Gazzonda has sold out of both of his restaurants, Agrodolce and Circus. The 5-year-old Forest Hill Italian bistro Agrodolce has become Indulge Bar and Grill. Circus, the more boundary-pushing Glen Waverley restaurant he opened this year, has been rebadged Circus Japanese Grill and Bar by his former partner Jason Chai, who owns 20-year-old Glen Waverley stalwart East Empress. There seems to be a lot of closing and going on here in Melbourne. It's difficult to get the right staff in the country, as Port Phillip Estate has found. The Mornington Peninsula Winery restaurant's Achilles tendon has twanged again with the departure of manager Bruce England. He was the former sommelier at Pearl and Palazzo Versace on the Gold Coast after the end of his probationary period. His replacement is chef-turned-manager of the Stoke House downstairs, Roger Lancia. Basically, it just didn't work out. The estate will open its first cellar door bistro on weekdays and Mondays from this week. Recently we spoke to Raul Moreno Yagüe, who is the very gorgeous and very Spanish sommelier who opened Entre Tapas y Vinos in St. Kilda. He's split with that bar and Chef Abel Martin Burgos. Raul, who is the former Viudemont sommelier, also operates a Spanish wine importing business and says he's been presented with an exciting new opportunity that will combine his interests and passions with a Spanish flavour. So that's yet another restaurant duo that hasn't lasted that long. We spoke to Richard Cornish here on the show just a couple of weeks ago. He and Frank Camorra from Movida will soon be heading to Barcelona to research a guidebook on the best places to eat and drink in the Catalan capital. Camorra says the latest in a series by Melbourne University Publishing, which also produced Shannon Bennett's book on Paris, will be an insider's account of Barcelona that also draws on the experience of friends and locals. Planning has also started for the latest Movida cookbook to be released by Murdoch in November next year. It will turn the focus back from Spain to the food being produced by the Movida stable of chefs at Movida Next Door and Movida Aquí. Last week it was the Stokehouse. This week it's Longgrain revealing a medium-term interest in Brisbane. Chef and partner Martin Boats, and one of the many people I've mentioned already has been a guest on this program, has confirmed an offer from a developer to take the brand north, although he's not committed to the particular site. The group says he will commit to a Brisbane business in the next 18 months. Main priorities at the moment are redoing Sydney and upstairs at Melbourne, says Marty, who is originally from Brisbane. After that's out of the way, who knows? Salvatore Malatesta, who seems to have his finger in every pie at the moment, is all about precincts right now. In Yarra Street, South Yarra, adjacent to the Outpost, he's about to open a hassle-designed, wok-driven noodle bar called Mofo Noodle for the talents of Ben Cooper. And a sushi bar is slated to follow. Whilst in South Melbourne, where his St. Ali coffee business is, is gradually colonising Yarra Place, plans are afoot for a joint venture with a cocktail specialist, Matthew Bax. Matthew is from Durham, so you may know him, and Singapore's Tippling Club restaurant. Salvatore says they're exciting tenants from the art world mooted for the street. Little Press and Cellar, another part of the George Columbaris empire, will be... has opened already. A smart silver sliver of a place opposite the entrance to Big Brother, the Press Club. Little Press plies the all-day easy drop-in trade with fair degree of flair. There's goodies by the glass, all kept fresh by the seller's new enigmatic wine preserving system. Lunch you can have Greek is good in small packages. And a type of lentil soup. There's also some rather heavy and hippie... I'm not pronouncing that, fuckers. Love the sound of goat slow cooked for many hours as well. So look, there is so much going on in Melbourne, including, and I have to reach across one moment, while we're talking awards, the 7th Annual Federation Square Wine Awards have been handed out. The winner was from Minari Wines in Heathcote, their Beauregard, the 2006 Beauregard Shiraz. Best Red was the Bellarine Estate Phil's Fetish Pinot, which we love. Best White, Mirabel Ridge 04 Semillon, which is from Lethbridge. And the judge's choice was the Oak Ridge 2008 Pinot Noir. There's a lot more. You can find those details on the inside covers of today's A2. Matteo, welcome.
Thank you, Pete.
Now, I'm just going to get you to jump up a little closer to that microphone because I don't want you to be all far away and feeling nervous. Matteo Pignatelli is the man, the name behind Matteo's in... Fitzroy? Fitzroy North. I don't really know the difference. It's all bloody Fitzroy, really.
Oh, it's very different. It's a place to be at the moment with all the new openings up that end of town.
Now, is that up where Georgia Columbaris has the Hellenic Republic?
No, that's in Lygon Street down in Brunswick.
Right.
It's where the new George has opened up, a place called George with a J.
Yep.
There's a new bar there, a great bar called Long Play. Mm-hmm. With a little cinema at the back. And it's where Pope Jones is opened.
Which is Street. Matt Wilkinson's from Wilkinson Circa.
And Larissa and Ben.
Yes.
So it's all happening down our end of town.
Well, it is. And it's all happening with awards. There seems to be awards. Is it awards season? It's like the Oscars and the Tonys all thrown into one for the Victorian food industry, is it not?
Well, in August is the awards season. We have the Good Food Guide. You have which comes out the last Monday of August. We've got the Restaurant and Catering Awards. Mm-hmm. You've got the Wine Awards, you have the I noticed in Sydney they do even Time Out, the magazine Time Out, do an award ceremony. So it's certainly also because it's the quietest month of the year as well. So they throw all that in, and also to get in time for Father's Day.
Oh, of course. Of course. Now, you're here to talk with me about the Restaurant and Catering Association of Victoria Awards for Excellence.
Which are the best awards, I might add. Because they're awarded by the industry, so they know.
So these obviously are peer awards. Yes?
Yes, they are.
Now, would I be right in suggesting you might have won one of those awards?
You are correct.
Now, if we were to talk or to use the word transparency, and you're the president of the Restaurant and Caterers Association of Victoria, is it a bit?
No, it's actually quite a good question to ask, and because some people did, I did hear when I got up to get an award, I heard, oh, rigged, which is kind of funny, but it would be a bit too obvious being president that
that it was rigged.
That it was rigged. But it's actually done quite separate. So it's Kate McGee, who writes for Herald Sun.
We love Kate.
She's a chair of judge. She's a great judge and a great passionate person for the industry. She is a chair of judges, and then she has her own judges who are all anonymous, so we don't know who they are. Even as president of Restaurant and Catering, the only award I knew that was being awarded was that of the Lifetime Achiever Award, and that was only because I was doing the presentation, so I had to write a speech for Jacques.
That was, of course, for Jacques Ramon.
For Jacques Ramon, well deserved.
Yes.
And all the rest, and even Kate McGee herself doesn't know who wins the awards. It's all done, it's quite a methodical method. It works with formula. The judges go out, they fill in a form, they score everything from when they answer the phone to the moment they leave the door. And then they're all sent through to Sydney to what we call an administrator. And the administrator then decides on the awards.
Okay, so it's I wasn't questioning the transparency of the awards, but just when
I
was doing my research and I see, Mateo, that's a bit obvious. So let's talk about some of the awards. Obviously, listeners here will know a lot of these places. The Asian restaurant, so the best, the award for excellence for Asian food went to the Flower Drum.
Yes.
Richmond Hill Cafe and Larder, which is one of Stephanie Alexander's former, what do we call them, premises, took best breakfast restaurant. Best cafe restaurant went to Cafe View, which is a Shannon Bennett restaurant. Regional restaurant went to Two Boys at Germana.
Great restaurant.
It is. It's owned by a couple of poofs called John and John from memory.
No, I think it's Peter and Peter.
Peter and Peter.
That could be John and John.
Actually. I thought it was John and John. only because
you're right, actually.
Long, bizarre set of circumstances around John and John, but there you go. Duke's Coffee Roasters in Windsor took the Coffee Shop Award. European restaurant went to Nick Paulart at Embrasse in Carlton.
Who got Chef of the Year as well, actually.
Which is great. And even though he was doing a bit of stuff with horse, what's your thoughts on serving horse?
Oh, that's a loaded question, isn't it?
It is a loaded question. That's why I asked you, because you're a man of extraordinary talent.
I've eaten it as a child. Mum used to get it when some 20 years ago.
Because I'm assuming with a name like Matteo Pignatelli, you could be Italian.
You could be assuming I'm an ABI, but you know, that's an Australian-born Italian.
Australian-born Italian, yes.
But we ate horse as a child. A cousin had a farm in South Australia who would send the meat over and we would eat it. And as a child, you just eat it. You don't know what you're eating.
Because Nick got all manner of threats against himself, his family, his business, because he did one night of serving horse on a special menu.
Which he was going to do, but he didn't actually cancel it.
No, he did the one night.
No, I thought he cancelled it. He was going to do one night.
I thought he said he wasn't doing any more. Maybe I need to check my facts.
I could be wrong.
Because it's horse, it's been an ongoing subject over the last couple of weeks on the show. I was talking to Richard Cornish about it. I spoke to some of last week's guests about it as well.
I read something interesting this morning about, I think it might have been a tweet actually, someone saying, well, we call deer venison and we call sheep beef or the cow beef, maybe if we called horse.
Or the sheep lamb. Or what do we call the horse? Lamb?
I don't know.
Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Or thunder. Or black beauty or something. My guest is Matteo Pignatelli. He is the president of the Restaurant and Caterers Association of Victoria. Here to talk about the awards for excellence, which were handed out just in this last week.
Last Monday,
there we go. It was a busy night in town on Monday.
And it all happened. Yeah. And there were a couple of people who weren't too happy, but you know how it
Well, there was three lots of announcements. There was the Restaurant and Catering Association of Victoria Awards for Excellence.
Yes.
There was the Fine Wine Partners and Australian Gourmet Traveller Wine List of the Year Awards.
Correct.
And there was the announcement of the nominations of the Helpman Awards, which are theatre awards. So all happened on Monday. A boy could have been very busy.
Well, restaurants are theatre, so...
Well, I guess, yeah, they are. It's all theatre in one sense or another. If you would like to send a tweet, as Matteo has just mentioned, you can do so to cravings_joy949. You can email onair@joy.org.au if you have questions on how these awards are perhaps handed out. You can SMS 0427JOY949 or, in fact, phone 1300JOY949. Now, Jacques Raymond, as well as being inducted into the Hall of Fame, took Fine Dining Restaurant. This seems to be a very hotly contested award between, well, it's nice to see four names in there, but it seems to be two between Vue du Monde and Jacques Raymond.
And every year, it's always...
It's been the same since Shannon opened Vue du Monde, God, how many years ago? Had to be a good half a dozen.
Yeah, at least, and it's going to be great when you move to the Rialto building as well. That's going to be apt for the name Vue du Monde.
It will, yes, it'll be stunning. So the finalists there, Vue du Monde, Jacques Raymond, Royal Mail Hotel in Dunkeld, which we're a great fan of, and of course Ezard here in Melbourne. So Jacques took that one out. Greek restaurant. Nothing there that belongs to George Columbaris. That's odd. Salona in Richmond was the winner there over Cuisina and others. An Indian restaurant, and this is nice to see suburban restaurants like the places like Mooney Ponds.
That's the beauty of our awards, is that they're indiscriminate of where and who owns the places, and they're judged to a criteria, a detailed criteria, and then the real person wins, I suppose.
So are you suggesting that some of the awards that are handed out via other organisations or perhaps...
Yes.
Yeah, good. Very good. You didn't want to go any further with that one, did you? The Destination Melbourne Informal Dining Restaurant. Nice to see that go to the French Brasserie. Regional Informal Dining Restaurant, the Summit Ridge Restaurant and Lounge Bar at Falls Creek. And Italian restaurant, of course, the Italian here in Melbourne. So it, when sort of putting the criteria together for these awards and how it all happens, do people nominate themselves or is just...
What tends to happen is that the form goes out and says, do you want to nominate yourself for an award or...
Do you have to be a member of the association?
No, you don't actually. It used to be that you used to have to be a member, which... When I became president a couple of years ago, we tried to change that because we want to be judged by all restaurants, not just members. And we only have 1,100 members. So if you're only being judged by a select few that are members, then it's not really a true award.
For sure. So people are sent a letter saying, do you
want to... They sent a letter saying, what category do you want to join? Or what category do you put yourself in? Are you... fine dining, do you want to be known as fine dining, do you want to be judged in fine dining, so to speak.
Yep.
And then the chair of judges truly work out whether they should be in that category, because some people just nominate themselves in a category that they know they can win, but they shouldn't be in that category.
It's not truly the category they should be in, of course.
So there is some discretion left to the judges. And then there's a criteria, it's a very similar criteria, and a funny one, which... And to be real, when we talk about transparency before, I do have privy to the criteria, which I suggested that, and any restaurant that asks for it gets it as well. And a simple thing like, the detail that it goes into is when they make a booking, they ring at a normal time.
Yep.
Then they ring again to confirm in the middle of service, just to see how the calls are handled in the middle of service. And then they judge whether the calls are rung back to be confirmed. And it's just like, even before they set their foot in the door.
So as a restaurateur yourself, how important are awards, especially those that are judged by your peers? What do they mean to you and the success of your business?
I think awards more recognition for the staff,
mm-hmm.
that they're doing a great job,
yep.
especially the ones by your peers. You know, I know we like to be judged by our peers more than anyone else because we know they know the industry. So if they're telling you you're doing a great job, then you... you respect those awards a little bit more.
For sure. Now, you've got a couple of chef's hats as well that you've held for 3 years, so two chef's hats, which is...
Which is great, but, you know, and... But at the end of the day, it's what the customers that come in that are... As long as they're happy, whether you've got hats or not. I know there's some restaurants out there that have no hats, and they're great restaurants. Mm. So, really, at the end of the day, it's all about the customer and them being happy. Not always right, but as long as they're happy.
Customer is always right, I'm sure. So let's run through some more, because there's quite a list. Best Japanese, Wabi Sabi Garden in St Kilda. Modern Australian restaurant, Mateo's in North Fitzroy, there you go. Modern Australian regional, the Wild Oak restaurant at Alinda. New restaurant, Metsu Bar and Grill, which is great news because those guys, because that was Oyster, wasn't it, in Little
Boy? What's Oyster? Well, that was one that was highly contested, I think, because some people said, was it a new restaurant because it's been going? But, you know, they've refitted, they've rebranded, they've spent as much money as anyone would that would have
opened a new restaurant, for sure.
Change the menu, change the design, because it's the same owners. And I think, you know, it's one that maybe...
Well, technically, just looking at the words new restaurant, it is a new restaurant.
Well, it is. It looks new. It's new pricing. Mm.
And up against our very dear mate, Adam De Silva at Coda. Pizza restaurant, Ciobella in Balnarring, which is a little surprise to me, knowing some of the pizzas we can get in here around town.
Well, it's amazing because I'd never been there, and I'd spoken to people who from the Mornington Peninsula who are all pizza goers, and they said, oh, it's the best they've had. It's fantastic, apparently. So
says a lot. And Pub, Tavern, Club, Restaurant. The Grand Dining Room Bar in Richmond. Now, let's quickly run through the rest because we're going to run out of time here. Restaurant in a Winery was Oakdean, Vineyard Restaurant in Wallington. Fine Food Specialty Cuisine Restaurant, Verge, here in Melbourne, which is, of course, Dallas Cuddy. There is the chef, a good mate of ours. Meat and Livestock Australian Steak Restaurant, The Point in Albert Park. Scott Hicks, another good mate of ours here on the program.
You get them all on here, don't you?
Yeah, mate, it's seriously been the last year has been a... I think I counted up when we did our 1 year anniversary. We'd had 5 Michelin stars, 68 chef's hats, and hundreds of guests come through and sit in the studio. So it's that's all in a year. So we're pretty chuffed with what I do here each week.
Have you had Boy George on yet? Or
no. You're talking Calabaris.
Yes.
No. Busy man. Thai restaurant is Siam One in Carnegie. Training restaurant William Angus Institute, of course. Boutique caterer, Ed Dixon at Food Design. Corporate caterer, Epicure at the NAB in Docklands. Venue caterer at Mariner Theatres. Wedding caterer at Crown Melbourne. And I guess the two big ones, Restaurant of the Year, Jacques Raymond, and Caterer of the Year, Crown Melbourne. So sort of a fairly extensive set of coverage in those. Are you able to stick around for a while and meet Rob Hurst?
Yeah, I'd love to meet. I've met him before as a
excellent. Well,
champion of the industry.
We will have him in just a second. My first guest here is Matteo Pignatelli. Decided he'll stay with me for the rest of the hour. My name is Pete Dillon. This is Cravings on Joy for 94.9. I'm joined by Matteo Pignatelli, who is the president of the Restaurant and Caterers Association of Victoria. Also joining me now, I have two new guests, Rob Hurst, who is the chairman of Fine Wine Partners. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon.
Just swing that microphone around for me, if you will. Lovely. Then, mate, we won't miss you. And also on the phone is the editor of Australian Gourmet Traveller Wine, the very lovely Judy Saras. Good afternoon.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone.
Now, I've dragged you away from lunch.
Well, I postponed lunch just to speak with you.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. Now, the reason I've got both you and Rob here, of course, is to talk about the Australian Winelist Awards, which were all very smartly doled out in the Skoda showroom in Richmond on Monday. And perhaps, Judy, because I've got you on the phone, we might start with you. How important is the association with these awards and Australian Gourmet Traveller Wine?
Oh, it's incredibly important. In fact, Rob and Judy Hurst started the awards in 1994. It wasn't until 3 years ago that Gourmet Traveller Wine became part of the awards when Rob approached us and asked us whether we'd like to be part of it. And of course we said yes, because the sommeliers of Australia are so important in getting word about new wines, good wines, interesting wines out to the public. They're sometimes the first people to promote new and special wines. So for Gourmet Traveller Wine magazine, it was very important to support these awards and be part of these awards.
And it's essentially a great fit for the title, is it not, as Australia's premium wine title?
Well, it is, yes. We're obviously covering anything to do with wine, and the sommeliers are a huge part of the wine industry in Australia, and growing too. I think you'll agree that, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, people weren't so aware of sommeliers and wine staff in restaurants, but now they're becoming more and more prominent, like chefs, and they're putting their personalities to wine lists, and we're beginning to know sommeliers' names more readily than we were before. And I think also, as the Australian public has become more educated about wine and more interested in wine, they're very keen to have some guidance when they go out, and people are no longer sort of intimidated or embarrassed to sort of make inquiries about wine, to be guided through a wine list. And of course, that's what a sommelier is there for when they're on the floor in of the restaurant. It's to help people find the perfect wine to have with their meal, and it doesn't mean just an expensive wine. A good sommelier will take people through a list and find something that is just right for them, the right style of wine for their meal, and also at the price point the person wants the wine to be. So I think people generally are learning how sommeliers can help them heighten their experience when they go out to eat.
We've met many of them on this program. Rob, I'll bring you in here because obviously as the founder of the Australian Wine List Awards, how important is a wine list and I guess more broadly as a sommelier in a restaurant from your perspective?
Yeah, look, Peter, having been in the industry for 30 years, one of the things we recognised was the fact that in restaurants and the on-premise area generally, many cases the biggest asset that the organisation has, particularly if they're leasing the premises, is the cellar downstairs, and the management of that is fundamental to the success of the restaurant. And we saw over the decades that there wasn't sufficient recognition for this as part of the business of running a restaurant and an on-premise outlet. And we also felt that there was insufficient recognition for those that were doing it well. And looking after a portfolio such as ours, it's fundamental that there's no point producing the finest wines in Australia if we don't have the best educated and the best and staff that you can possibly have out there, and they get the recognition for what they can achieve, which is their wine list, their showpiece.
And like Judy said, it's not about somebody trying to flog you the most expensive wine that's on the list. It's more about that match that sits your price point, that sits at your taste level, because some people are intimidated by wine, particularly if somebody's going to stand there and say, look, you know, this has got a nice minerality and the mellow lactic blah blah blah, can go straight over someone's head. So if it's simply a matter of a som or a restaurant manager who's incredibly knowledgeable, talking somebody through, you know, you've ordered quail, what do you think is going to go with it, how do you think that's going to match, and also our palates are also different, so I guess it's, and feel free to jump in, Judy, I know because you're not sitting in the studio, we can certainly get you to jump in.
I think what's important.
I think a really skilled sommelier will ask the right questions, so they discover what their customer is after, and I think sometimes they can be instrumental in introducing people to new wines. I mean, people can be a little bit nervous, and you know they might sort of stick with Chardonnay or Shiraz or whatever. A skilled sommelier will sort of be able to tell them something else that might suit their palate. So it's expanding people's enjoyment and their knowledge. And I think that's very important, and also brings great pleasure to the customer.
And there is nothing like a good marriage between good food and quality plonk. You're with Pete Dillon here on Joy 94.9. This is Cravings. I am with Judy Sarris, who is the editor of Australian Gourmet Traveller Wine. I'm also with Rob Hurst, who is the chairman of Fine Wine Partners and founder of the Australian Wine List Awards. And Matteo Pinicelli, who is the president of the Restaurant and Caterers Association of Victoria, who just this week have announced their awards for excellence. I am with the gorgeous Rob Hurst, the gorgeous Judy Sarris, and the gorgeous Matteo Pinicelli here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. This hour is just sneaking away from us already, and I really haven't got anywhere. I guess we should talk about the absolute pinnacle of success in these awards, which is the Wine List of the Year. It did, Judy, go to Rockpool Bar and Grill here in Melbourne, trumping its Sydney sister restaurant.
Yes, well, it's been a hugely successful 2 years for the Rockpool Bar and Grill Group, because last year Rockpool Bar and Grill Sydney won the award. This year, Rockpool Bar and Grill Melbourne. They've got a totally different list to the Sydney restaurant. David Lawler, their sommelier, has only got sort of 100 of the wines out of the famous David Doyle cellar. David Doyle owns both the Rockpools, in case people don't know that, and he bought an amazing cellar over from the States. And Rockpool Sydney has got a lot of that in their cellar. But Rockpool Bar and Grill was awarded because it was different to the Sydney restaurant. It's impressive in its own right and is absolutely brimming with fantastic wines.
Rob, is this a good a clear message of what these awards are about, for Rockpool to win the Wine List of the Year, the Best Restaurant List, and for David Lawler to take the award named after your wife, Judy? Do you think that's a good representation of what you set out to do when these awards were created?
Yeah, look, I think it is. It's David winning that that award was well deserved. The challenges with doing a wine list, and we've got 25 judges who participate in this, both in Australia and overseas, and both the Rockpools are extraordinary lists, and the Sydney one has just been recognised by Spectator magazine in New York as one of the best in the world now, But it's not necessarily all about the biggest list, and certainly these two have the most extraordinary sellers, access to them in Australia, and now they will both go into the Hall of Fame, which means they can't win it again. But there's almost as much talent and skill and experience required to create, if not more, create a small, fine list than there is to do a big list.
Well, it's easy to sort of grab, 400 wines and separate them by type and throw the list out, and there you go. It's probably much harder to find wines that pull out the nuances of your food. And Matteo, jump in here as a chef.
Yeah, definitely. I've always thought it's much harder to write a short list than it is a big list. And in actual fact, when you go to Spice Temple in Sydney, which is Neil Perry's other restaurant.
100,
which I thought was a brilliant idea.
100 lines.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, that would be difficult to write, at least for just 100 wines.
Well, the best short list actually went to, the small list went to Fina, which is in Wollonga in South Australia. And you talk about how hard that is. But then I just want to flick across to some of, because I'm being ridiculously parochial because we are in Melbourne, to some of the Victorian winners. Best Country Restaurant List went to the Lake House in Dalesford. Ella Wolf Tasker is a great mate of this program. And I spoke to her just after winning that award, and she said, I'm really, really surprised because we're up against the Royal Mail in Dunkeld. And they have, and Judy, I don't know if you've been to the Royal Mail, but their wine list is, their cellar is extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. Well, in fact, they won our Reader's Choice Award this time around.
She's jumping the gun on me.
Sorry.
And it's special for Dunkeld too, as well. I think there's more wines on the list than there are people in the town.
Oh, so. There are. And have you been, Matteo?
Because I've been a couple of times. Dan Hunter's a great chef, and
he's an extraordinary chef. And this cellar is actually across the road, which is the main road of town.
Well, it's a collection that Alan Myers has been collecting over all his life, is it? So
if there's a fire in there, I'd hate to think what that's insured for.
Well, I'll be volunteering for putting the fire out that day.
Yeah, I think I would too. You could probably put it out with some very good quality Rieslings, my word. So, like I said, Ella was really surprised to win this award. And I guess when you're up against something that is of that magnitude that the Royal Mail has, how hard is it from, and I know you guys aren't involved in judging, so I don't want to talk about how you get to those results, but how difficult is it to put these lists up against one another and find one that's more deserving?
I think it's not easy. Yeah, go on, Jude.
Well, you go, Rob. You go first.
It's not easy, and I think in talking to the judges, all 25 of them, they say this is one of the most challenging
tasks that they have over the whole year. But it's fascinating to see when you do get them to all score, and all the finalists do go to all 25 for the final score, to see just how many are in sync and how far in advance, how far in front the winners do come out, because there is a recognition both within Australia and Australian judges and internationally, and we have judges from America and Europe and, mm-hmm. and the UK, how similar they are in their assessment of what creates a great, what is a great list.
Judy, you wanted to jump in?
Well, I was going to say the Royal Mail Hotel was actually one of the finalists for Best Country Restaurant List, the award that Lake House won. So they would have been, I reckon they'd have been neck and neck at, for that award. And what we did say, what the judges did say about the Lake House sommeliers is that they care about non-mainstream sort of wines and a lot of very interesting non-mainstream champagnes and imported wines that you might not find anywhere else. So they found it interesting. They'd be looking at, how the wines work with the food. So I think, that sort of gives you a little bit of a clue why they chose this one this time around. Ella, of course, is working with lots of organic and biodynamic ingredients, and I think there's a fair few organic and biodynamic wines on the list as well. So very interesting.
If I can quote Jenny Port in this current issue of Australian Gourmet Traveller Wine, it cares about the ties that bind the kitchen and the food philosophy at the Lake House with wines grown and made locally. I think that's probably a very... short answer to the question that I just asked. Sure. I guess it's a lot about care.
Absolutely, yes. And they are always looking for a balance between the wine list and the menu and the food. So it worked very well for Lake House this year.
And Best Cafe Brasserie, another Victorian list, this time the European here in Melbourne, under a team of somms led by Adam... Is it Adam Cottrell? Yes.
And Ben Baumgarten and Chris, yeah.
Now, this is the home of Ian Curley, Chef Ian Curley, who's about to be presenting a TV show at some point, which is based on a Canadian show called Conviction Kitchen, where he's taken young offenders who have been released from either prison or juvenile detention and teaching them to cook. And giving them a trade.
A bit like the 15 program.
Well, very similar. But
or Charcoal Lane, but maybe not offenders, but potential offenders.
I think this with Ian Curley, and I don't know about you, but Ian looks like he just got out of jail himself.
He says he hasn't, but I'm sure he has.
I'm sure he has. Now, while I've got you both, Matteo's brought something to my attention that I think is probably worth all three of our four of us discussing. The potential for Iron Chefs Australia.
Well, it is actually, they're doing the pilots as we speak, and they're going around town picking the Iron Chefs and filming people to see how they go on TV. So I wonder who people think would make the Iron Chefs, who are good enough to be the best Asian chef in Australia, the best Italian chef, the best French chef. So,
Judy, I'm going to throw to you first. Who's your Australian, Italian and French chefs the best in Australia for Australian...
Gosh, who would we pick for an Iron Chef? Well, I don't know. I mean, you sort of think Tetsuya is a fantastic chef, but he's not scary.
No, he's just a lamb.
maybe Armando from Bon Ricordo in Sydney. He would be a good Italian one to put on. Yes.
Rob, who would your candidates be? Do you think?
Well, I'm going for the Iron Sommelier as opposed to the Iron Chef.
Ah, there we go. And you've got something very valid. Who would be the Iron Sommeliers? I mean, who are the three grumpy folk? Well, not grumpy, but scary. I mean, David does have a very...
a gentle demeanour.
Yeah, he does have a gentle demeanour, but he still looks a little bit scary. Just a little bit.
Think of a scary sommelier. I can't think of one.
Who's the? She's also very, very lovely, and I'm stating that now. No, Sally's just a lamb. The woman at Cicciolina, here in Melbourne.
No, I don't know.
No, not Virginia.
Yeah,
Virginia.
Yeah.
Yes, she could be a bit scary.
and has known to be so.
See, I'm thinking of all the songs I know. Travis at Coda, Gentle as a Lamb. David Clark.
Lovely, yeah.
But that Locke Thornton, he, you know.
Yeah, he could be a bit scary.
He's scary.
Link Riley, he's just too damn good looking for his own good.
He's not scary at all.
No. I don't think we can find iron sommeliers, Rob. I reckon Iron Chef's... Now, Matteo's been very furiously making notes, Judy, so I think he's going to give us his three. Who are yours?
His three. I can't wait.
I'm too scared to say, but I would say in the Asian, they'd probably go for... They'd be going for people who have television presence already that have got some television skills, present well. I think for Asian, I'd go for someone like Neil Perry.
What about Shifu Kylie Kwong? She's scary.
Yeah, maybe not Kylie, but I can only pick one. I think Italian, I'd stick with Judy with Armando Percuccio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you say that. The French, I'd go with, thought initially Tony Bilson, but I think might be... how do I say this politely? It might be young enough for that, I think. Or so it might go for someone like Philip Michel. Mm-hmm. I think they try and keep with someone from all the states. He keep it all nice
and
political.
Guillaume.
He'd be good. He's pretty scary.
Jacques Ramon.
Oh, no, Jacques's not scary either. I don't know why I've thrown scary into the mix. Hey, guys, we're running out of time and I'm going to have to go very shortly. So, Judy, thank you very much for joining us on the phone. You can now trot off to enjoy. Where are you going for lunch?
Well, I'm going to a friend's house.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll trot off there. Thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us. That's Judy Sarah. She is the editor of Australian Gourmet Traveller Wine, joining us there on the phone from Sydney before she pops off to lunch. Rob Hurst, anything you want to add before we go? Because I can't believe we've got to 5 minutes to one already.
No, look, I just think it's wonderful that you're allocating the time that you are to the industry, because you look at the profession in Europe and we've got a long way to go, but we're making great strides, and I think that the sooner we get the profession of being a sommelier recognised as we do the profession of being a chef in this country, the better. And
at the moment we can see Master Sommelier on Channel 10, I think we're well on the way.
Yes, indeed.
There's a hint, folks, at Channel 10. Matteo, thank you as well for joining
me.
It's been terrific fun.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.